This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
The Minnesota Vikings have named their starting quarterback, Michael, and it shall be Kyler Murray will take over as the starter instead of J.J. McCarthy. J.J. McCarthy will be pushed to backup quarterback behind Kyler Murray. The decision pushes J.J. McCarthy. He was the number 10 pick, but now he'll be in a battle at the number 2 spot. There's Carson Wentz and Max Brosmer still on this roster. So is it necessarily a gimme that J.J. McCarthy will be number 2? We'll see. Yes, Michael.
I'm going to make a prediction.
What?
Kyler Murray is not going to be bad.
Kyler Murray is interesting. And you know I like Kyler Murray, Michael. Why? Why do I like Kyler Murray? Go ahead.
Is he slow?
No, because he's fast. I like hot, nasty speed. But he's small also. Got the this one yesterday, Mike. I didn't say it yesterday because I thought it was so ridiculous, and then it started getting steam. The owner of the Panathinaikos basketball club in Athens, Greece, says he tried to buy Jokic out of his NBA contract for next season and believes he can sign the 3-time MVP when he becomes a free agent next summer. Zero chance they can afford that contract unless Joker wants to play for about 70% less. So, no, I don't think this is real. They did apparently make him a serious offer. Don't exactly. So, I mean, Joker has 2 seasons and $121.8 million left on his current contract. Second season, of course, is a player option, giving him freedom. Scary. He'll become eligible to sign a 5-year, $359.5 million contract extension with the Nuggets in July of 2027. That would be the largest in NBA history. So, unless Greece has 5 years worth of $359.5 million on hand, they're not going to be able to. They're not going to be able to get him.
Well, I looked up the owner Greek
just say
something.
The owner. You're fine.
He's worth $500 million to $1.9 billion. Sounds like a drug dealer to me, but...
Why do you say things?
I mean, it's so
vague.
Like $500 million and $1.9 billion. Like, is he hiding something from the taxpayers in Greece and we don't know about that?
I don't know, but why do you have to go there? It's a sports show. Take your weird stuff away. Shams posting yesterday, NBA Christmas Day 2026 on ABC and ESPN. Spurs at Knicks, Heat at Celtics, 76ers at Lakers, Thunder at Timberwolves, and the Nuggets crack the code. The Nuggets at Golden State will be playing on Christmas Day this year, so really cool. Love it. Love having NBA and NFL on Christmas. I love it. It's a great time for everyone. Yes, Michael.
So are you going to watch the Nuggets or are you going to watch the Broncos? Because Broncos play on Christmas Day at 2:30 against the Bills.
What time is the Nuggets game?
I'm not sure, but I'll be watching the Broncos, and I believe it's on
time. No shocker there, okay? Like, that's all you watch. Like, if the end of the world was coming, are you going to go save people or are you going to watch the Broncos in your living room?
You're watching Blue Eye Samurai.
Broncos. Yeah, big shocker. You don't even need to say that kind of stuff. Like, don't even say, I will be watching the Broncos. Everybody knows. I want to read this, too.
I will be watching the Broncos.
Obviously, that's all you care about. You're obsessed. The restraining order still intact, I'm assuming.
No restraining order.
Well, the way you talk about them. You know what I mean? Like, it's just weird. You're just, like, obsessed. And I like sports, man. And I don't care who knows. But you're just, you're obsessed with them. I don't know if it's healthy. I'm not sure if it's healthy. The Nuggets and the Warriors will be playing at 8:30 there. Genius. So it doesn't matter. We can watch them both like a real sports fan. And all of us normal people will be watching both of them.
Do you know what East channel
Chris
going to
saying,
be on?
I just said ABC and ESPN.
Just wanted to make sure.
You're too busy thinking about the Broncos and what color socks they're going to wear tomorrow. And you can't even listen to the show. You can't even listen to the show that you're on.
I'm worried about getting as many streaming services as I can so I can actually watch the Broncos game. Because they have like
you just asked me what channel the Nuggets are going to be on. You just asked me what channel the Nuggets are going to be on, and then you switch it in your mind to the Broncos. But you're
well, the Broncos were a part of the.
But you're a great date. Eastside Chris, does your co-host come to work with his pencil pocket protector, or puts it on when starting his shift? He's not that kind of a nerd. That kind of a nerd might be useful.
I mean, I could leave now. If I'm not useful to you,
well, I mean, you're doing it, man. Per Brian, this morning it's difficult to play in Greece.
Very hot.
Well, you'd be in a basketball court, so you know it's cool in there. I would imagine
humid.
Faith, talking about your stupid tabletop games that you're obsessed with. Tabletop games? I like Chutes and Ladders. LOL.
That would be a board game.
Yeah, and that's like a normal person thing to do.
Never played Chutes and Ladders, but I have played
obviously because that's
share
a normal
sorry.
That's a normal person thing to do. So that's why you didn't play that one. I don't know if you saw this either, the WNBA thing we were talking about yesterday. She kind of doubled down on it. DeJounte Carrington says she never claimed that the assessment of a flagrant foul 2 on her Saturday in a game against Indiana was the result of white privilege. Carrington came from behind the hit. We know what happened. She hit Sophie Cunningham. It was a bad one. She responded to Emmanuel Acho, who was criticizing her, former NFL linebacker. She says, never once claimed that the assessment of the foul was white privilege. Try exercising your critical thinking skills. I know you studied psych. Furthermore, I'm the last thing from ignorant or asinine when it comes to speaking on white privilege. Do ya research on that one. I actually went to school. Well, then you should spell out you or your. One of the top universities, might I add, to educate myself on this exact subject. I would never use that term as a rhetorical weapon, knowing the historical and social weight it holds. Okay, just going to ask an obvious question. You posted it right after the foul. You literally went into the locker room and posted it. And you tagged the Fever. You tagged the team in which Sophie Cunningham plays for. So in this tweet or whatever outlet you used, you still don't tell us what you meant. So why did you tweet out after you got a flagrant 2 foul, then ejected from the game moments later while the game is still going on, you're tweeting it out saying white privilege, and you tag the team that the girl plays for that you just fouled? Explain. If we're all wrong, if literally everyone is wrong about your tweet, then enlighten us. Tell us what you meant.
I'm surprised you didn't say, my ex account was hacked.
Michael, ever play Candyland? And sorry. Are you sorry that you're asking Michael if he ever played Candyland, or are you asking him if he played Sorry? Because you should be sorry that you asked Michael a question. John Fort Milton Bradley.
You should change it to John Fort Milton Friedman.
What is that?
He's a Nobel Prize-winning economist.
Do you like to suck the joy out of everything? Like, I'm telling you, man, you're the bridge dude. I'm telling a great joke at a story. Everyone's laughing. People have had a couple of drinks. And then you just saunter over with your hands in your pocket and you say something crappy like this.
I've quite a mastery of the humorous yawn. Let's both revisit the birth of the Doily Cot Opera Company.
Like, nobody likes that guy, Mike. I love you, Michael.
No.
Nobody likes that guy.
That is one demerit.
Let me just ask. You're trying to flex your whatever smarts back there. Why would his name be John Fort Milton Friedman? Why?
He said Milton Bradley. Company that makes board games.
Based on that text, why would you say that he should be that name? What about that?
They both had the first name Milton or
So that's where you made your connection. That's the smart. Our guy, great sponsor of the station here, Doug, my guy, says, Brady, please tell the mole to go back into his hole.
Mole is stretching his legs right now.
Oh, my gosh. You're wearing me out today. 60 minutes after the hour. Let's talk Rocky, somewhere Michael can just stay over there and look at pictures of the Broncos on his phone. Spencer Smith, DNVR Rocky, is going to join us next. Keep it here on the whole show. Brought to you by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado and Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Preps football starts here. KFK brings you training camp coverage of the Berthoud Spartans live tonight at 5 p.m. Brought to you by A-Plus Heating and AC.
This is Brian Howell, Buffs Insider for BuffBlitz.com for the On3 Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
19 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show. Joining me now to talk some Colorado Rockies. He is our Rockies insider, Spencer Smith, DNVR Rockies. Spencer, that game could have gone maybe differently. That was a rough go, and even more so with Nolan Arenado hitting his eighth career grand slam against his old team.
When you asked about which game went rough, I was trying to think of the last week and the amount of games that you were trying to zero in on. But yes, last night was a quick trigger on the this is going on the smaller, non-important TV for the rest of my viewing evening.
It's been a rough go. After that Kansas City series sweep. Since then, man, I mean, we've had one win against, was it St. Louis? And so it's just been some exciting games, some interesting games, but last night was certainly not one of those.
No, and it's this last week, since the Kansas City sweep, once the Rays came in and they blew the Tuesday game against the Rays, which, you know, not to hate on Jordan Romano, but his first blown save as a Rockies closer, he's actually been decent in that role after having a 10-plus ERA with the Angels earlier this year. But, yeah, the last week, other than that Saturday Cardinals game where Jake McCarthy went off and ends up winning National League Player of the Week, it's been very 2025 Rockies this last 10 days or so, and it's not fun to watch.
What do you point to? Is it guys kind of getting complacent after the trade deadline? What makes some sense of what's happening here in this last week or so?
It's kind of been a trend all year, and they can't mask it right now. They just can't pitch, man. And I think they've allowed a first inning run in like six or seven straight games, or six of the last seven. I mean, when you start the game right off behind the eight ball, whether it's, you know, you're a home team and it's the top of the first, or you don't score in the top of the first and then you allow a run in the bottom of the first, or you score a run like they did a couple times in St. Louis, and then you just come back and you can't get a 1-2-3 inning and can't get out of it. And a little bit more, you know, on the pitching, their walks have been up the last week or so. And then the defense is just not good. They're just misplaying balls. You know, last night it ended up not technically hurting them, but they had Jordan Beck misplayed the ball in right field, which led to a triple for Gabby Moreno instead of a double. And then the next pitch was a wild pitch, which luckily ended up hitting Ketel Marte's foot. So it ended up being, you know, not allowing a run to score off of basically an error, two back-to-back errors, rather. And then, you know, you give up another walk and then a grand slam to Nolan Arenado. It's like, it's just messy. That's the best way I can describe it right now. Every time they take the field, you're once a week, you're going to get a game where you're like, wow, this is fun. But once or twice a week is about as much as you're getting right now. And I was really confident in my 63 wins, and now it's going to come down to the wire. I think they got to finish 17-27, which is better than they've played most of the year. You can't win one of every three anymore. They do have a 10-game homestand in September, but they're only playing three teams that are really firmly out of the playoff race the rest of the way out. So it's going to be tough sledding.
It's going to be a push to get there. But even if they don't, it'll be interesting kind of how you assess the season if they do just completely spiral out of control the rest of the way. Let's say they do. Let's say they go on and it's you know, the record is very similar to last year. It's already going to be better than it was last year, and that's good. But if it's similar, how do you think you would assess this team? Do you still think, man, you take a lot of the positives before the trade deadline? Or how would you view that?
You know, if they finish with like 53 wins or 55 wins, I mean, that's still a 10-12 win improvement over last year. So you got to take a little positivity in that. Plus the offense and where it's been and the lineup. You know, last year was just a mix of bad pitching and bad hitting. They were low, you know, bottom five in the MLB in almost every important statistical category. This year, the hitting and the offense has been up. I think the defense is something that you look at and figure out how do we get better defensively. And then, you know, the pitching is what it is. You know, we'll see what they do in the offseason. But I really think looking back on this year, and I think if the Rockies continue to spiral and don't play well in September, they can kind of save face by calling up guys like Zach Veen and Charlie Condon and playing them in September, because it's at least a peek into the future, or, you know, some guys that you think may be part of the future of the Rockies franchise getting some reps, you know, getting some ABs, playing at with the big club. I think they can kind of save the season, if you will, or save face with the fans a little bit if those couple of guys get called up from AAA. And then, you know, while his start last night was rough, Gabe Hughes has just had really bad luck. Gabriel Hughes, excuse me, he doesn't like Gabe Hughes. Gabriel Hughes had some bad luck and just hasn't been able to win, but he's been one of your more quality starters. So seeing four or five more starts out of him, seeing if Ryan Feltner can kind of clean up this middle of the year slump he's in, you know, a few guys that you know could be part of your rotation going into next year. I feel like this season was all experimental, and it's been more than positive with the amount, you know, winning more games already than they had all of last year, of course. But I think a little bit more experimental going forward. We're going to see Connor Norby now, who was traded for from the Miami Marlins. Tyler Freeman went on the injured list. So we're going to see Connor Norby and just another case of the Di Podesta plan of, hey, we're going to snag a guy that's not really coveted, not really having a good season, and see if what we're doing here can, you know, a change of scenery can fix him. So there's some things to look out for player to player wise. And of course, the overall win loss record, trying to get to 63 wins will be something to watch. But I think the growth and the call ups of a few minor leaguers that are kind of knocking down the door will really help ease the pain of all the losses in September.
Spencer Smith joining us, DNVR Rockies. How important is that, like you said, for the Rockies, that number, you know, 63? How important is that, or is this at this stage more about, like you said, the Connor Norbys, the experiments, let's just get a little weird here to finish out the season? Is that more about what the Rockies care about, knowing that this season was about, I mean, really, let's see where we are at the All-Star break, and if we're improved, great, but we're not going to make the playoffs, anything like that, so let's just get a little weird with it and not necessarily pay attention to that number, that win-loss number?
Yeah, you know, I think there's a few select people in the front office / organization that think 63 wins is very important. I would imagine that if they get there, that is a huge step in the right direction for them. I don't think maybe Paul Di Podesta and Josh Burns, guys who are new to the Rockies organization, I guess everybody other than, you know, the Monforts and a few other people are pretty much new. I think anybody that's new sees the growth and can really not compartmentalize whether they win 63 games or not. But I do think whether they're never going to say it, but I think not losing 100 games this year would be a big win for the overall outlook of the organization from some of the higher front office members.
Yeah, it's kind of a mental thing, too. Spencer, outside, well, first off, let me go back to this game. What are your feelings like when you see Nolan Arenado now? Because there are some Rockies fans that will tell you, I can't root for that guy, can't stand it, especially if he's semi-successful against the Rockies. There are other Rockies fans that really miss the dude, sometimes kind of wish he was back here. Where do you fall in the Nolan Arenado situation?
I don't like the guy. I'm salty. I've always been a salty fan when it comes to those guys, the Carmelo Anthonys, the Nolan Arenados, the Andre Iguodala to some extent, just the guys that don't like it here and make it vocal and make their way out. And then, you know, I've kind of cooled off on Nolan a bit over the past couple of years because he wanted to go to a winner so bad in the Cardinals and he was so happy about it. And then he never went to a playoff game with them in like 7 years. So that part of it is like, okay, dude, whatever, you know, you could have played in just as many playoff games with the Rockies as you could the Cardinals. So I'm a little salty. I know the guy's going to be pretty much a first ballot or close to a Hall of Famer. But yeah, it definitely made the, I wish Ketel Marte or any Ryan Waldschmidt, anybody would have hit a home run last night rather than him in the first inning.
Spencer Smith joining us, DNVR Rocky. Spencer, what are you hearing more on the lockout situation as far as any kind of news you're grasping, any kind of good news out there on that front?
I don't think there's any good news right now. I think the only thing we're really hearing is that the sides are very far apart and that, you know, which is generally what you expect in a big negotiation like this. I think they're hoping that they can save half of the season next year. I think if baseball starts in June next year, that's probably a win the way it looks right now. But I just think it's a very weird situation. And kind of like we talked about, I think last week, it's a very weird CBA negotiation where most of the fans outside of, you know, LA and those fans span over the whole country. But there's outside of two or three fan bases, I think a lot of people outside the MLB and inside the MLB want the same thing, which is not usually the case. Usually a lot of people are like, all right, we want what the players want. The players deserve more. And I think that the fan bases in general are like, well, this is just becoming ridiculous. And especially, you know, the Tarik Skubal trade at the deadline that he then goes to the Dodgers, who are the best team in the league. You know, they lost seven in a row just the last couple of days, which has been fun to watch. But everybody knows how good they are, and everybody knows you can pretty much pencil them in. As fun as the Brewers team every single year, they'll get to October and choke it down. That's just how it goes. And you know the Dodgers are going to represent the National League in the World Series again, and then you just hope that maybe an American League team, unless you're an anti-Yankees or anti-Red Sox person, can dethrone them, if you will, and not let them go back to back to back. But I think the culmination of the Dodgers winning the World Series this year and going back to back to back with what they've done in terms of the signing of players and the deferring of contracts, it'll kind of like the last firework finale before you shut down the show for a while. And I think while it won't be fun and it'll be, you know, a talking point all off season until everything halts supposedly December 1st, I think it's just going to be what it is, and you're just like, well, you know, something's got to change here. Even though, you know, the baseball does have a lot of parity, I think just the Dodgers winning three in a row and how they're doing it and how they're going about it and what they have and the sweetheart deals they have with the TV and the former bankruptcy, I think people are just over it, and it's time for a big change.
Spencer, if for some crazy world the Dodgers don't win the World Series or don't even make it to the World Series, How does that do anything? Does that mess with any kind of these negotiations going forward?
I think it definitely changes the fan perspective. I think everybody that's not a Dodgers fan will be cheering against the Dodgers no matter who they're rooting for in the MLB playoffs, whether it's the Cubs or the Brewers or the Diamondbacks or the Phillies. You know, I'm going to be rooting for all those teams, and I think a lot of America will as well. But I think we're too far past the point now of anybody that means something to these negotiations changing their stance. You know, I think they've seen enough, and whether or not that does culminate in a World Series or not, I think it's beyond repair at this point. I think both sides have their stance. Both sides have an idea of where these negotiations should go and what they should look like. And I don't think that's changing whether or not they do or don't win the World Series. And I almost think it's going to be a bigger battle if they don't, because all those Dodger fans will and Dodger you know, people will be like, well, look, we didn't win it a third time in a row. This doesn't need to change, blah, blah, blah. So I think anybody that matters in the vote or has a side on this that actually counts, they've already made up their mind at this point.
Yeah, interesting stuff from you, man. What do you have cooking for us at DNVR Rockies in the next day or two?
We've got our live YouTube show on Friday at 10 a.m., and then next week we'll be at the ballpark. We do once a month. We do a Friday afternoon rooftop club. So some of us from DNVR go to the rooftop, just hang out, watch the game, do some content. So that's what we got coming up here in the next couple weeks. Obviously, this football season, I think right around the corner, if you will, the Rockies will take a bit of a backseat. Coors Field won't be quite as full most of these weekends. But, yeah, we got some fun storylines still for the rest of the year. You know, I've got my over 52.5 win bet, which I hope cashes. I'm getting a little nervous the way they're playing now, but that should cash. So I'm kind of watching for that. And then just, you know, waiting for that September call-up scenario where the rosters expand. I think there's a few guys very deserving of it from the AAA level, namely Zach Veen. And kind of, are they going to give him one more shot, or what does the organization think of some of these guys? And Mason Adams, who's the AAA pitcher right now that they traded for from Chicago, he should get a few starts in September as well and look to potentially be part of the 2026 rotation. So we're watching out for a few just storylines here, and then we'll kind of hop into, you know, October baseball. They announced the World Series schedule. The Game 7 is going to be on Halloween, so that'll be kind of fun. And then, you know, who knows when we'll see another baseball game after October 31st if the World Series makes it to 7.
Yeah, kind of drink it in while we can here, because who knows what's next after this year's World Series. Spencer, always appreciate your insight, my friend, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Thanks so much, Brady. We'll talk to you then.
It's kind of, we haven't spent a lot of time on it, Mike, but it is a really, it's hard to sit and watch baseball. And I felt the same way in any sport I'm watching, where you're just hearing that the next season, the next off season, is just going to be flooded with, you know, lockout talk, and that's where baseball is at this point. And according to Spencer, and according to many Major League Baseball insiders, they're very far away. And if the hope on August 11th is that they are hoping to get to the point where they can maybe do half of a season next year, that means you've all but canceled the first half. The first half is gone. Like, that's not happening. And so they're just trying to see if they can get any closer to where they can have at least a second half of the season. So it'll be very much like the COVID year, where we didn't start playing baseball until July, I believe.
That would be very interesting, because what are you going to talk about in the summer when there's no baseball?
Well, luckily, we talk about a little bit of everything, Michael, if you've listened to the whole show for the past however many years. So there's plenty to talk about. You would think you would know that, being part of the show here. But you know, it never dies, man. There's always topics. There's always great. I mean, this summer, we have been flooded with NCAA talks, and that's not going to change next summer. That will not change at all. Plus, you'll have all of the football stories kind of throughout the offseason chatter and things like that. And I'm sure we'll have to hear about your favorite Star Trek toy or something at some point next year.
I do have some good news, though. If a strike happens or a lockout, the Rockies will probably not lose 100 games.
Probably not. Probably not. 36 minutes after the hour, a surprise appearance for a running back that many media outlets called, use the I word, injured. We'll get to that coming up next. 36 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Here in Colorado, doing business is more than a transaction. It's a handshake, a neighbor helping a neighbor. And at Bank of Colorado, that's the way it's been since 1978. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado. And as Colorado's largest family-owned bank, we're built on personal service and a commitment to giving back. From local schools to community events, we invest where you live, work, and grow. Because this is more than business. It's home. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Ed Lamb, head football coach of the UNC Bears. You're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I want to thank Renaissance Insurance Group with my guy Ryan Hicks, formed by two UNC Bears alumni over 20 years ago. Renaissance Insurance has always had our backs. They specialize in risk management, commercial and personal insurance needs for Weld and Larimer County. Give him a call at 970-674-8825. Talk to Ryan. Compare rates. See if maybe he can help you out or get your situation, make your situation a little bit better. Or visit team-rig.com. Texter Eastside Chris on the First Advantage text line. Brady, not sure when, but we went through a Major League Baseball lockout before. Michael, can you look? When was the last Major League Baseball lockout? It took a lot of work to get to where the public watched again. This might be doomsday for Major League Baseball as it is currently. Only diehard fans will care.
2021 to 2022, that was the last lockout.
But was it, did we actually miss games?
I don't know if we did.
I don't remember.
Start date was December 20th and end date was March
20th. No, we did not miss any.
It was March 10th. There was one in the 90s.
Yeah, that's the one that we actually miss games. If you have a lockout and you don't miss games, then it doesn't matter to the fans. If you miss games, though, and like you said, what are you going to talk about in the summer if sports people, if fans, they just put it into their lives where we're going to do something else. Hey, go watch the Fort Collins Foxes. You know, go watch local baseball in the area if you really need your fix, or you're going to do a lot more than that. But this is what hurt the NHL. They had two lockouts in 10 years, and that really hurt them. I don't know. A guy like me, it's going to suck, and baseball's gone. But then if it's back the following summer, it's on, right? So it's like, am I gonna watch movies and TV shows when that's always been secondary to me, or am I gonna have the Rockies or a random baseball game on? And for a guy like me, that would be the answer. I will still come back to it, partly because it's my job, but I think even as a fan, I would. But will the semi-casual fan get back to baseball? And that has yet to be seen. I mean, you've seen baseball struggle over the years, and that's part of the reason they've been trying to change, finally changing some rules around. I think the pitch clock, the challenging of calls, hell, that's just fun. That's just fun. Yeah, that's a thing now. Patting your head, like that's you see it in the crowd. I mean, I was watching the Boston Red Sox. They won like 9 in a row. I can't remember who they were playing, but they were down like 7-1 or something, the bottom of the ninth. And it's in Boston, and the crowd is just like, it's clear, it's full, everyone's standing. You could feel, even though they're down 7-1, you could just feel it in the air. And I think they got it to like 7-5, so it made it really interesting. But it was like at every at bat, the crowd was like gasping and holding their breath with the hitter. And it just shows you, like, people love this stuff. There's still a passion for baseball. And I'm seeing the crowd, patting their head when they think there should be a challenge. Like, they're getting into it. And the NFL adopted a lot of that, did a lot of that stuff first. And fans go crazy for it. You always see fans throw the red flag, throw things you can do to get into the game more, also to attract a younger audience. Baseball's just starting to kind of get that going, starting to kind of figure that out. They're throwing out other outlandish ideas like the golden at-bat, the golden ticket, the Willy Wonka idea. I applaud throwing out the ideas. Basically, you have one ticket per game where you can put a hitter up at any point in time, even if he just hit. It's kind of a fascinating concept. But I feel like Major League Baseball is just starting to figure some of that stuff out. Make the game a little faster and sharpen it up. But then we get to this lockout, and yeah, I don't know. Diehards will come back. Sports people in general will come back, but what will that be like for casual fans? Like even just casual Rockies fans that maybe don't watch every single game, maybe don't even watch 50% of the games right now, but once or twice a week, they're sitting down watching a Rockies baseball game. It'll be interesting to see how this all plays out.
The last lockout was in 1990. The one that was really devastating was the strike between 94 and 95, and that basically canceled everything, including the World Series. But if you look at all these disputes, you have a strike in 72, strike in 73, lockout in 76, strike in 80, strike in 81, strike in 85, lockout in 90, the aforementioned strike in 94-95. And then you had a long time between that and the 2021-22 lockout. So yeah, baseball has a history of shooting itself in the foot. But he was Texter is right. The 94-95 one was pretty hurtful to the sport.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, we always kind of kid around. Even Spencer said it, who makes, you know, this is living. He's covering the Rockies. He even said it. He's like, hey, football's starting. Here in a couple weeks, we know the Rockies are going to take a back seat. And that's not the case in every city. If your team has a chance and is, you know, going to make the playoffs or in a playoff push, then that's different. But stepping aside when the NFL takes over and, you know, the NBA and the NHL, they run you through June. So, I always say, like, if you're going to go on a lockout, you got to get it figured out by July. July's your month. July is the month for Major League Baseball for casual fans. So you got to figure it out then. I remember during COVID, when it took them forever to finally get their season set, it wasn't until like later July, I think, or something like that. I remember, man, they missed the boat there because you got a starving sports world, desperate for any. I mean, we were obsessed with the Michael Jordan documentary because it was sports that was actually airing. It wasn't sports, but it was talking about sports, and it was like we were getting it every single week, and it was a new episode. We were desperate for that. Hell, man, we were watching Tiger King for a while on Netflix, and then that dream came to a weird end. That's how desperate people were, though, for something, and sports is such a big deal, whatever it is you're into, even if it's not your favorite. So to answer the question, or to answer your wonderment, I'm not sure if Major League Baseball, how they come out on this. It's not like it's going to go away, but it's been a struggle for a while. And, you know, I think a lot of Tanner's points on Good Morning NoCo with the no salary cap, people getting tired of the Dodgers, people getting tired of these rich teams. Yes, there are outliers. Yes, there are teams that can do it that occasionally win a World Series, but now it's becoming even more and more. I mean, they were headed for this for a long time now. And right now, if they weren't to go on a lockout and they were just to keep going like this, then yeah, you'd still be seeing Dodgers Yankees takeover. I mean, that's I'll be curious to see if the Dodgers pull it off this year because they did go on a slump the last week or so. But it's a tough road and it's unfortunate. And it's hard to even sit down and watch baseball knowing, okay, this is the last season for a bit. It's a bummer. 12:49 the time. Let's read the text. Brady Rocks have a chance to become the fifth team in Major League Baseball history to have four consecutive seasons of 100-plus losses. Yeah, unfortunately. With those call-ups, Rocks will have a plethora of outfielders. Should have traded McCarthy and Moniak. See, I don't agree with that, and that's probably not the right take. McCarthy's been, outside of last night, he's been on fire. He's fun to watch. Moniak's fun to watch. I just like the fact, last night, obviously not included, but they're kind of more fun. This is the most fun I've had watching the Rockies in a while. So I didn't want to shake that up at this point, but we'll see. Who do you like to win the Field of Dreams game on Thursday? That's right. Who is that? Philadelphia and Minnesota, I think. We'll go with Brian. Brian Gary. Former, he's a big Minnesota fan, so let's go with Minnesota. Let's do that for him. 12:50 the time. We'll take a short break, wrap up hour number two. We got clip of the day coming up. Also, the latest on J.K. Dobbins calling out the media today. We'll be right back.
Preps football starts here. KFK brings you training camp coverage of the Berthoud Spartans live tonight at 5 p.m. Brought to you by A-Plus Heating and AC.
Hi, this is Nuggets insider Chris Dempsey, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
12:55, welcome back. Coming up next, we got clip of the day. Kay Adams was visiting with the Broncos yesterday. Some interesting conversations with quarterback Bo Nix and Sean Payton. Also, an update on J.K. Dobbins. We'll get to that on the other side. Keep it here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.